Democritus is rolling in his grave. Election 2020.
Coming up next, we're going to continue our election coverage on housing. And something of a concern beyond the number of houses is, in fact, the actual state that our houses are in. So I spoke to Greg Street, who's an eco-design advisor from the Hutt City Council, who run a service to advise people how to make their houses both more healthy, cheaper to heat, and as a result, more environmentally friendly. We talked about the recent changes that the government has made, especially to rental properties, and what future action is needed.
To be perfectly honest, the biggest problem in my eyes is how people think and what they want and what they expect. So people don't really want better. So people have got so used to, you know, terrible conditions that they quite happily go along with it. So, you know, it's like, oh, if the kids die of the flu or whatever, you know, tough luck. You know, the neighbour's kids die too, so it's normal. So there's this normalising, you know, poor housing, really.
Yeah, and especially when you talk to people who are from overseas, I mean, people might come from countries like Canada or something where because the climate there, it forces you have to have good insulation. They do, whereas we kind of can just squeak by, and so, it doesn't get addressed in the same way.
Yeah, I've got to say, when I first started in this field, I had a couple of, like, sayings that I used to say, you know, as a kind of a personal joke, and it was something along the lines of, you know, due to us having all these Scottish ancestors, we're used to, you know, sleeping outside and being cold and, you know, like, just tough it out. But the people who have come from overseas have really, you know, come back from overseas or moved here from overseas, have really got the whole ball going in this area. So that the origin of the Eco Design Advisor service actually owes itself to a German guy who came here, bought a house in New Zealand, and just couldn't get the thing warm. And so he actually went to Brands and said, hey, what's going on? I can't get this house, you know, warm. So they really started to look at what was going on in New Zealand houses.
How can we, in terms of design and building new homes, ensure we make homes that are healthy, energy efficient, and economically efficient as well to heat?
Yeah, and that's actually like a really big question because with building a new home, we know how to do it. We know how to do it. We can always be helped by new technology and new products and all that sort of stuff, but actually the knowledge has been around for quite a while, so it's not, you know, brand new knowledge. But people don't really get it that, you know, like the building codes are, there's this description that kind of floats around in this industry that the building code is a description of the worst house that you can legally build. But as far as, you know, the perception of the public is that, you know, if it's designed to meet the building code, then, you know, the building code is a performance standard, so they expect that that should be enough. We did a tour of, like, this housing factory that was, you know, building houses on site. It was supposed to be more efficient and, you know, like, less waste and all that sort of stuff. But we said to the guys, this guy, he said, what about you guys having an offering of, like, a higher performance house that does better than, the bare minimum of the building standard? And this guy, he said, oh, you know, but then people will think there's something wrong with the rest of our houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what interests are kind of being protected there, I guess? I mean, do you feel like there's something that the government could do in terms of incentivizing people to go above and beyond and take these further design steps?
Yeah, the only thing they can do is, as an incentive, is really to, it kind of has to be the stick in the sense of actually raising the building standard, unless you do it that you make people want or you get people to actually want better and ask for more. It's like with the Eco Design Advisors, they can give advice on new houses and, you know, they can encourage people to find, you know, different ways of doing, you know, making wall systems and that sort of thing. But a lot of people go and buy a house from a developer and the developers are stuck in this mindset of people don't want to pay extra, and people generally pay more for a flash marble bench top in their kitchen than for, you know, like a little bit of extra ceiling insulation.
Yeah, and because if you're talking about the stick versus, I guess, the carrot, in this case is very obvious. I mean, it's better health and it actually saves you money if your house is more energy efficient and it's more so more environmentally friendly. But yeah, I wonder, why is it just a terms of a cultural thing that we don't see those long-term benefits?
Yeah. In the Brand Building Research Association of New Zealand, they've got a magazine that comes out every few months. And in the last few years, they've taken on an anthropologist. So actually looking into, you know, how people's minds operate or, you know, like what they're expecting. But one of the, in the latest magazine, there's an article in which a researcher at the university has been looking into what makes people comfortable. And it's quite interesting because actually, you know, being comfortable as far as temperature across the year doesn't really come up high on the radar. It does say something really interesting, that people really respond to light. So having good light is the most important to many people.
Yeah, and so we've been talking, I guess, focusing on those new builds where you can, you know, you have control to put in windows where you want or passive heating, yep, things like that. But a lot of New Zealanders are living in houses that might already be cold or damp. And how do you advise them? What kind of retrospective steps can you take?
Yeah, and generally with what we do, most of the action that we see is in the house, in the area of existing dwellings. There's been a lot of work in the area of rental standards, still a work in progress. Standards have yet to still totally make their way into the field, but there have been some improvements there, which is really, really good. But there are lifestyle choices that people can make. When we do an assessment, we produce basically a summary of the what can be done to improve the house. And if it's a rental, normally we'll break it into, I will break it into a few sections. So there'll be one section of, this is the things that are covered by the law. So, you know, you're legally obliged to do that. So that's for the landlord to look at. Then there's a section of, here's a bunch of things that you can do yourself that aren't necessarily high budget things. And that's kind of the big area. And then there's a bunch of other things that are going to cost a lot of money, but they might make the house, you know, a lot better over time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the tricky thing, yep, is, I mean, I'm in a flat at the moment with a landlord who's very reluctant to make any improvements that kind of go beyond, you know, what he's legally required to do. So I guess it's like we were talking about with the building code as well. It outlines the bare minimum. I guess, yep, I wondered how do you feel about these recent rules that have been brought in regarding rental properties and heating and insulation? And perhaps was there some things you'd like to be seen to be added?
Generally, as it is, I think what they've aimed to do is get at least a level of performance of an old dwelling. So there's a few things that are really hard, you know, just going to cost a lot of money and a lot of fuss to get organised. But generally, the deal is that if there's ceiling insulation and if there's floor insulation and if the windows have some sort of treatment system, doesn't always need to be double glazing, but further down the track it will, and not having drafts blow through the doors and having a heating system that's sized for the living area, then you should be able to get it warm at least. Yeah, there will still be questions about how efficient the heating system is, but with the rental standard, what it says is that if it's going to be more than 2.4 kilowatts of electrical heating, then it has to be a heat pump. Basically, so it's going to be something that's actually really efficient.
To end with, was there anything else that you kind of wanted to add or any more of those things from your wish list that you might like to see the next government focus on?
There's a lot of work involved in building, you know, improving the building code, but generally it's, you know, people can find out what they can do themselves, and that's a really good place to start. And I think if we're going to talk about, you know, wish list for the next government, probably come back to me and we could have a chat on that, because there's all these different players in the field and there's many people working in the area. But there's some really cool things happening. New Zealand Green Building Council, really super positive. There's a few exemplar homes around that are worth having a look at. There's the Waitakere Now House that was built, you know, like 15 years or so ago, but it still performs really well. Brands are doing a Next House, which has got carbon factored into the build. Bluesco and Dunedin have done a climate change, climate safe house, which is like a reasonably cheap, modestly sized, high performing house. And Christchurch had the first 10-star home star house, which was just kind of an exemplar of good house. With the elections, it's like we just need to work with whoever comes in. There's work underway on the building code. And within industry, there's a strong desire for like a performance certificate. point of sale, so that if a house is for sale, then there's a certificate which says this is how the thing's going to perform. One of the interesting things about the new tenancy standards is that actually the rentals are going to perform higher than a lot of family homes. So bringing the same standards to an owner-occupied dwelling is definitely strongly desired. Regional councils have rates, they call it voluntary targeted rates, so it's like you can borrow some money on the rates and do all of the things that will bring it up to that rental standard. So that's on its way, and any government that supports that will, you know, get some good, you know, good results out of it.
95 BFM News election coverage 2020. Housing.